Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show. It's Thursday, June the 22nd, 2023, in case you're wondering what year to put on your checks. I have three, I would say, slightly better than average co-hosts today. But they are better than average. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Is that not complimentary when you say somebody's better, slightly better than
Ray,
average?
Ray, how does it feel to be better than average?
It's a close call.
Go either way.
Listen, Ray's acknowledging his limitations.
Yes, sir.
I think he's acknowledging the limitations of your compliment.
Ed better be slightly above than slightly below. So
that's
there.
Right.
Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. And I will freely confess, I've been mediocre many times in my life.
Right. I've been below mediocre many times. All right, Chris Woodward, good morning to you,
good
brother.
Good morning.
All right. Well, Ray, what's happening in Kansas City? No football? You got the Royals
hot,
play?
Is it hot? Hot.
Is it hot?
Yeah, we've given up on baseball, by the way. Our team is so awful. We're just counting the days until Pat Mahomes takes the field.
Right. Right. Football season.
Nothing else matters but Patrick Mahomes.
I've driven by that Royal Stadium in Kansas City. That is a beautiful facility.
That's gorgeous.
There where the
I've never been there.
Well, you
ever seen a game there?
No, we were coming back from Omaha, College World Series a couple of years ago, driving back through Kansas City, and just was on the interstate late at night, and the stadium was lit up there where the Royals play. Just saw it. And that's right nearby where the Kansas City Chiefs play too, right?
They're side by side. It's kind of like an athletic park there, and both stadiums beautiful. And so naturally, there's a big move. Some people want to move the baseball stadium downtown, and they're trying to find a couple of billion dollars to make it happen. But what we need is a baseball team first, and then the stadium.
Yeah. Ooh, that's cold. Man, that's cold. All right, a lot to talk about today. Steve Jordahl will be with us the next hour. Then we got Jan Markell coming up at the bottom of the hour. The world's eyes are on what's happening with the situation in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. What's that vessel called again?
The Titan sub.
But it's not a submarine.
It's a submersible, yeah.
Submersible.
So they're using sub in short.
All right, what's the situation there, Chris?
Well, some news outlets, including USA Today, have reported this morning that they've run out of air on board this vessel. USA Today went so far as to say that it was estimated Tuesday by the Coast Guard that they had about 40 hours of oxygen left, and that length of time passed as of about 5 a.m. this morning, and that's Eastern time. Fox and others at this moment are talking about how they've increased the search to try to find this thing. It's not looking good, but hope remains, and certainly a lot of people continue to pray over this situation.
Well, and my understanding is that these underwater robots that are part of the search and rescue operation, they're still combing the floor to try to locate it.
Right.
You know, we've all been, you know, watching. I'm sure most people have been at least, you know, paying attention to the story. But they had maps, and it looks like, you know, they had a pinpoint on, you know, where they were because they were down to see the Titanic, the actual wreck. But the ocean is so vast. Mm-hmm. And the possibility of a submersible drifting, that they're having to comb over the, you know, a fairly wide range of area to find them.
As I mentioned yesterday, I read where you can only see 20 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, with a light, with the whatever equipment they've got down there searching, I forgot, I'm not sure what it's called, but... You know, it's so deep. It's just so dark down there. There's no light. But as the hours go on, you know, like you said, Chris, they're going to run out of oxygen if they're still alive.
Right,
right.
Frankly.
And there is the grim possibility that they simply will never be recovered. Right,
right.
That it is on the ocean floor somewhere and will not be found for a long, long time. So we're well over into, I guess you would say, miracle territory. I mean, we pray for a miracle, something would happen, but the ocean is huge and the weather in the North Atlantic is rarely good. It hasn't been good the last few days. And I read an article yesterday that said even if it had somehow bobbed to the top of the ocean, it's the size of a minivan, and it would not, in the tens of thousands of miles they're searching, it would not be easy to spot. So it is a dire moment, I think.
How many people are on board there? Five, right?
Five?
Yes.
I think it's five.
Five people. I've shared a link. By the way, it's the Ocean Gate Titanic sub. I think I called it the Titan sub, which is what some people have referred it to. But the full official name, Ocean Gate Titanic sub search.
Yeah. Well, very sad situation, obviously, especially for the families of it was a father-son on board too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, Chris, next story.
Well, Ray mentioned the weather. That's been a big story this week and will continue to be a weather for
Let's
people.
Let's talk about the weather, Chris.
What's that?
Let's talk about
let's
the weather.
Let's do that. Unfortunately, a line of severe storms produced multiple tornadoes last night on the rolling plains of West Texas, including one that killed at least three people and caused significant damage around the Matador community. This, I think, is in the Lubbock, Texas area, for those not familiar with it. Get this, guys. The storms also produced softball-sized hail and wind gusts topping 100 miles per hour. That's like hurricane wind speed. Mm-hmm. Strong hurricane wind speed with a tornado.
Are you talking about, tornadic? Mm-hmm. It was okay, because sometimes straight-line winds can go as high as 100.
Yeah. They're still investigating to figure out what exactly the tornado it was, or tornadoes. I'll share a link for this as well.
They've also got a heat wave going on in Texas.
Yeah, and that makes weather worse when you're talking about tornadoes, because these storms pick up strength by the hotter it is.
But the size of the hail is being reported in the last week or two.
I mean, if you're outside and a softball-sized piece of hail hits you in the head, it could kill you.
Right.
If it hits you in the
you're talking spirit. Hail of biblical proportions.
Yes.
At that point, softball size.
And God used to kill armies. He used to send
That's
hail.
Right. Book of Joshua, right?
As right. A part of judgment. And so you're not having arrows coming down on your head where you can hold up a shield. Softball or even larger size hail.
Well, that's an insurance adjuster's nightmare too, right?
Yes.
There.
Huh? That's right.
But it's a dream come true for roof contractors, right?
Yeah, we're going to be busy for the next 4 months.
Right, right. All right, Chris, next story.
Well, this one is a big story, and I've got a good bit of sound here. If you go to our website, which is afn.net, you'll see a story. It involves the House voting to censure Representative Adam Schiff. You guys remember several years ago, feels like 100 at this point in this news cycle, but Adam Schiff long claimed that he had evidence, or that there was evidence, proof, he said, that Trump and Russia did collude with one another, which got Trump elected back in 2016. And now that Republicans have taken control of the House of Representatives, they've delivered on their promise to hold Adam Schiff and other people accountable for what they're calling their, quote, lies. And so I've got some audio here. Let's begin with this one. It's Speaker Kevin McCarthy on the floor talking about the Adam Schiff situation. Clip one.
Representative Adam Schiff will be censured with a public reading of this resolution by the Speaker, and that the Committee on Ethics shall conduct an investigation into Representative Adam Schiff's falsehoods, misrepresentations, and abuse of sensitive information.
Now, someone else that had a lot to say about this yesterday was Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. Let's play that one, clip two.
We all knew these facts, and today we had Mr. Durham in front of the Judiciary Committee, and he confirmed that all of that was complete garbage. Schiff knew this, so we censured him. He abused his office to sow lies and to spread falsehoods around about the entire investigation.
Well, where Schiff, that is his name?
Mm-hmm. Got
it
Schiff.
Right.
Who's running for Senate?
In California. Mm-hmm. He kept saying, I got incriminating evidence against Trump being connected to Russia. And he kept saying he had this, and then he never, ever produced it.
And apparently knew that it didn't exist.
Right. So that's what he's getting censured for.
Right.
Right. That first clip was sounded like the British House of Commons.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Usually you don't hear that kind of
bloke.
That kind of people making bloke making a racket and noise and booing and hissing and in the United States House or Senate. It's usually quieter.
Hey Ray, let me just ask you, just kind of connected with that, because I would find it very difficult to be a member of the British Parliament trying to make a speech and having people shouting things. So let me just kind of flip this over to preaching. Do you prefer, when you're teaching the Bible, do you have any preferences in terms of whether people shout amen or clap, or is that distracting to you? Or
It depends 100% on the setting. I suppose most of the places I preach, you'll hear an occasional an occasional amen here or there. It really, Ed, the question is, are they shouting with you or are they shouting at you?
Shouting with you or against you?
When they hold up their left wrist and they point at it, I think they're saying,
not a good sign.
They're saying, wrap it up.
Wrap it up, preacher. Wrap it up.
Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, folks. I could never be the preacher at a black church.
Okay, excuse me for interrupting. Just so people know, because maybe they don't know. Ray pastored for how many years?
27 years.
27 years in the pulpit. You, both bivocationally and youth pastor, how many years?
35 years.
35. So a lot of sermons from the pulpit. Okay.
Right.
Now go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I was going to say, and folks, our dear black listeners, Christians, don't misunderstand. I'm not sure I could ever have been a pastor at a black church, because they don't hold back. I mean, they are. If they like what you're preaching, man, they're shouting, they're clapping. I think.
Pentecostal
churches
do that. Pentecostal
churches of any color would be like
whatever.
That. And besides, it just was always distracting to me, because
you got an amen or a hallelujah.
Yeah, even when I got an amen, because my first reaction is, what happened?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to know how I'm doing, you know? It's like you're getting a rolling grade point average as you're moving through the sermon,
true.
You know? Move on, preacher, move on. Let's stop and talk for a while.
I will say, as I've mentioned on the show before, I grew up in a mainline Protestant denomination. And growing up, I hardly ever heard anybody say amen during the sermon, which is, how that church chooses to worship. And then I became a member of a Baptist church, and where they do say amens, and I'm still kind of like getting used to, sometimes I still fall back into my main line, like I have to sit here like a potted plant.
But what if you were like you're saying, that you were like in the British House of Commons and you were pastoring and you would get heckled? You know, instead of just amen, it's like boo.
I mean, that's a real test, right?
Yes,
that's,
it is. And they love it.
You're
over
wrong.
Over there in the parliament, I mean, they
right.
love
that's
that
right.
back and
that's
forth.
That's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the most common expressions from congregations who do verbalize their thoughts?
I don't know. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes Sunday should be preaching and you'll hit a point and they'll go, my Lord. My Lord. It just means it's really hit home.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you go way back in the country.
Yeah.
Okay, back in the sticks, here's what you hear oftentimes. Come on.
Come on. Yeah.
That's right. Come on. Come on now.
Come on.
Come on.
He's right.
Now if you're a pastor and you hear come on, you're tacking on 10 more minutes.
That's it. That's
right
it.
There, huh?
That's right. That's right.
Because you've just been encouraged.
Oh, my goodness.
We struck gold. We got to dig it out now.
Struck gold.
I was going to read three verses, but I'm going to read the whole chapter right now, people. Because Brother Bill over here said, come on.
Come on.
I have a question since we have a couple of pastors on the show here. Where is it written that church is about 45 minutes to an hour? Like, you know, for a long time
it's
now.
Deuteronomy,
yeah.
chapter 7.
And it depends what kind of church you're in.
Third like Hezekiah.
Churches,
Hezekiah 14.
A lot of black right churches.
My dad used to say, my dad was a pastor for many years, Methodist, but he used to say, the mind can only comprehend what the seat can endure. And that wasn't original with him, but that's what he would say. So his sermons were always about 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's why a lot of these churches that go on for 2 or 3 hours, that's why they're constantly standing up and clapping.
Because the seat can't endure.
The seat can't endure it. No, listen, there's a whole art to knowing when you're going to finish a sermon and figuring out how you're going to beat certain other church groups to the restaurant.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
If you finish at 12, you know you're going to get behind the Episcopalians.
The Methodists will beat you to the cafeteria,
The
right?
Methodists so. Will beat you. If you go too late, you're going to run into the Pentecostal and the black churches. Yeah. And I know that's the Pentecostal right. can be black, but right. you know what I'm saying? We can't go to 2 o'clock
right.
or we're going to get in that crowd. At the restaurant, so I probably have offended everybody by now, but
well,
just keep it real.
There's one other group of people
yeah.
who do care seriously about how long you're going to go.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're going to say.
The nursery workers.
That's right.
That's right. Do not cross them. Do not cross the nursery workers.
Right.
Or they'll bring the babies right into the service, yeah. and it'll end anyway.
They'll so. Walk in. I thought about walking in. I'm not saying what year this happened or when this happened or where I was going to church, so don't guess, those who know me. But when they've gone over 15 minutes or so, you know, I've thought about going in there and just saying, you know, we're volunteers.
Not a captive audience.
We're not getting paid here. No, I'm kidding, but you do have to be cognizant
yep.
of
they do not teach you that in seminary
oh,
but
they don't?
You learn it on the street very
yes,
fast
right we're those having a revolt
those are street smarts
we're that's having right. a revolt
don't get on the wrong side of the nursery workers yeah. nothing good can no. happen there.
When the deacon comes back with the tray of you know grape juice and crackers and he's got a look on his face from the nursery it's time to cut it short
so yeah. the next church leadership meeting on the docket is Pastor, another item we need to bring up, the nursery workers are unionizing,
yeah.
And we're not sure exactly how to respond to this. But
or they right. bring a baby in and say, preacher, you change this baby.
Yeah, I'm going Here. Home.
we get to the end of the sermon real fast at that point.
My wife and I are leaving, or else we'll get beat to the bonanza by the Methodists and Episcopalians.
How about the lights that they used to put up now. I don't know, does churches still do that? They put, some churches put light bulbs at the front of the church so that, or no, not light bulbs, but they put numbers up there.
No, it's like 114.
Yeah,
you come get your kid.
These are for, come get your kid.
So the pastor's right. preaching or somebody's singing and number 36 starts flashing.
Right.
That's right.
Huh? And then the parent has to do the walk of shame.
Yeah. Right.
When the roll is caught up yonder.
Here. We got problems. We got problems somewhere.
That's a good
the
one,
walk
Ed.
Of shame.
High five me on that one, Ed.
Yep.
Walk of shame.
Walk of shame.
Kid number 36. Look who that belongs to.
Yeah,
we got trouble.
Kids out of control.
Honey, have you noticed every other week it's number 36? Somebody needs to get control of their children.
That's
back
right.
there. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR 10. Y'all ought to write a book. Ray, you and Ed ought to write a book
there's
together.
There's a book waiting. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is.
All right.
I'll get right on it.
Well,
next story, Chris.
Not to kill the vibe that we have going here, taking a lighthearted thing. Let's mention this because it's some good sound and Steve cut it
You know,
for
Chris,
us.
You can only kill the vibe if you let it kill you.
Oh, okay.
So
you
know,
kill a vibe if you had a vibe going.
Yeah, I'm sure some people are familiar with the story. If not, this will be your first opportunity to hear it. There's a young lady by the name of Lydia Owens. She's a South Carolina public high school class president and valedictorian who is in the news because she stepped out in faith while addressing her classmates in her commencement speech. And her words of Christian belief quickly went viral. We've got some audio of her here. Clip 9.
You are made in the image of God. I had that reality check almost 2 years ago when my mom passed away. When tragedy struck my life, it was not my grades nor my accomplishments that helped me navigate through that loss. When everything else in my life felt uncertain, the only person that I could depend on to stay the same was Jesus. You don't have to worry about whether or not you'll be successful, because God promises that his grace is sufficient for us and that his power is made perfect in our weaknesses.
Yeah, brave young lady, wow. Right, Ray?
Wow.
That's just courageous, and God has given her speech some play because that's gone viral.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, God bless these young people.
Amen.
Who, in the midst of the cultural stuff happening all around us, these Christian kids were willing to stand up and be outspoken about their faith. And it sounded from that clip like people were listening very, very well to what she said. God bless her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will say it is completely legal for students like Lydia there to do what they did. There have been a lot of concerns that, you know, oh my goodness, if we mention God or something biblical, we're going to get sued and get a nasty letter from some obscure group in Wisconsin nobody's ever heard of, except when they pitch a fit about things. But it is completely legal to do what she did there because it's student-led. There have been a number of court cases to this effect that do back up her rights. So Lydia today, hopefully another Christian student tomorrow.
Yeah. And I like what Ray said. I am proud. We a lot of times young people, whether it's millennials or Gen Z or even younger, a lot of times they get a bad rap, and I'm just going to tell you, we have so many fantastic Christian young people around our ministry, at our church, in a lot of churches. There are a lot of great kids out there. I say kids, younger than me. And I think sometimes those age groups, those categories, they get a bad rap. And I'm glad Ray said it. There's some courageous young Christian young people out there who are in a situation where you speak up, you're going to get hammered. And these kids got to have guts, man. I'm just telling you, they got spines on them. That's probably a bad way of putting it, but they're courageous.
All right, Chris, next story. We have time for it.
Well, yeah, I'll just mention this because it is something we have covered and will continue to cover. The young man who's been in the news, a Massachusetts seventh grader, for a couple of weeks because he wanted to wear a T-shirt that said there are two genders.
Only two genders.
And his school told him you can't wear that. So he showed back up at another time wearing a T-shirt saying there are censored genders. The school also frowned on that. He lawyered up with Alliance Defending Freedom, and the case is still playing out in the court. They got a ruling against him last Friday, but I have a story featuring Alliance Defending Freedom saying we're going to appeal this to the First Circuit Court of Appeals. If they can't get some sort of decision allowing him to wear one of those shirts before the end of the school year, which is on June 26th, they hope to get a ruling allowing him to do so when school returns in the fall, at which point I'm not sure when they're going to return. But that case is still playing
out. Another courageous kid, and that's in Massachusetts. You talk about hostile territory.
Middleborough, Massachusetts.
And he's just not a troublemaker. He was punished. He was told to change the shirt or go home.
Right.
And I don't know how schools think they can get away with that, but their defense on the part of this school, but a lot of times in these types of situations, their defense is his T-shirt made students feel unsafe, and it's disruptive. And the only reason it's disruptive is because the school staff are making a big deal out of it.
Right.
So,
all right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with more. Jan Markell coming up for an interview here, and then more topics to cover. A lot of stuff in the news. I don't know how we're going to get through it all, but we'll try our best.
Maybe we shouldn't have talked about preaching and making it to the Bonanza.
No, that was
buffet.
Important stuff there. Every once in a while, you got a break for therapy.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right. We need therapy.
We're going to be back in a couple of minutes. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, about a month ago, we announced our Holy Land trip for March of 2024. We're already a third of the way full. There is a great pent-up demand for folks to go to the land of the Bible. I guess it was because Israel was closed for 2 years because of the pandemic. They're reopened. There's no COVID shots required, no shots of any kind required to visit Israel. So we're going in March of 2024, and I'm just telling you, we're going to be full by the middle of the summer, probably August, September at the latest. So if you want to go with us to see Israel in March of 2024, then go to this website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com is the website. All the information is there, the price, the itinerary, everything you need to know is at twholyland.com, and we hope to see you on our March 2024 tour.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary sponsored by Liberty University.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. When Johnny Bell was hired by the U.S. Postal Service, he was offered a salary of $1.81 an hour. That was more than 70 years ago, when a postage stamp cost about 3 cents. Mr. Bell is still on the job, delivering the mail in Oklahoma City, and at the age of 93, he now holds the distinction of being America's longest-serving and oldest mailman. The great-grandfather says he likes working 8 hours a day, keeps his mind operating. Mr. Bell told Channel 9 News that all these years later, he still has the same job and the same wife. His coworkers threw a party to honor his big anniversary. After a slice of cake, he went right back to work. Neither rain, nor snow, nor heat, nor gloom of night will keep Mr. Bell from his appointed rounds, and neither will old age. Be sure to get a copy of my book, Culture Jihad. It's available at your favorite bookstore and toddstearns.com.
The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Psalm 14, verse 2.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Chris Woodward. We be in Tupelo, MS, and our brother Ray is in Kansas City, KS. What do you got? Two-thirds of the population lives on the Missouri side, right, Ray?
Yeah, I think maybe more like maybe 75%.
Oh, really?
Of Kansas City is on the Missouri side. But those of us on the Kansas side, we're the top drawer. You know what I mean?
You're the elite.
The elite. Ray's an elitist.
Well, I'm here on the Kansas side. What did you expect? Well,
the airport's on the Kansas side, right?
No, it's on the Missouri side.
On Missouri side?
Yeah.
Where's that speedway?
That's just a couple miles from us. That's in Kansas.
That's where NASCAR.
Where's the Dollar General? Which side is
just Kansas? Down the road? I know where they
Everybody
know.
Everybody can say that.
Hey, five more locations here in Mississippi, and Dollar General becomes the new state flower.
Hey, by the way, let me just say this: we're talking about elite people. Our own Abraham Hamilton III.
Mm-hmm, not the second.
Not the second. Abraham Hamilton III will be on Fox tonight, folks. You want to check this out. I'm not sure what point the segment on the Laura Ingraham show, that's the show he'll be on. So you may have to watch the whole hour in order to catch him. But he's going to be talking about education. He was on a short, I think, for Lauren Green. He was on a short segment. he and his family talking about their decisions to homeschool their kids and the state of education and how we got to where we are in terms of education in this country with the total, quote unquote, progressive takeover and CRT and the transgender nuttiness. But Abraham Hamilton III, you want to check it out. If you have access to Fox News, he will be on Laura Ingraham's show tonight. We want our folks to support that.
Yeah, Laura Ingraham, what time is she?
I think is she on at 9 Eastern?
I'll look it up.
Maybe 9 Central time, I think, maybe.
Stand by.
Chris Woodward is looking that up. I'm not sure maybe if Abe can tell us what segment, but a lot of times you just have to stick around until they get to you.
According to Fox website, 10 Eastern, 9 Central.
All right, 9 Central time, 10 Eastern.
Fox News has lost a lot of viewers over the Tucker Carlson situation.
Yes.
I saw where MSNBC beat him one last week.
Rightly so. That was not a good look for Fox News.
Firing Tucker Carlson?
No. And he's not the only one. Dan Bongino, and obviously Dan Bongino was not as influential as Tucker Carlson, but there's some suspicion, and you have to work to dispel that. Mm-hmm. There's some suspicion that Fox is not as conservative as it once was.
They did away with Lisa Kennedy's program as well, which upset a lot of libertarian viewers. They didn't explain why. Just part of that programming change there, but a lot of people were upset by that. She's still one of the people on Outnumbered. She didn't disappear from the channel, but that was another thing.
I think
that
the Newsmax has benefited,
right?
Probably more than anybody on that deal. But and you just wonder, Ray, how much longer cable news? There'll always be a demand for cable news, but you're talking with podcasting being what it is,
right? Right.
I don't know if cable.
You got a guy like this fella, Joe Rogan, who I've hardly ever seen, but he has a huge viewership, right? He exists outside the normal,
right?
What the normal broadcast channels, or somebody like Elon Musk. Of course, it helps to have $45 billion to buy Twitter, but he's created a universe for himself on Twitter that's outside of CNN and MSNBC and all the quote big channels.
Yeah, I mean, on a good television does bring a different aspect than just podcasting or radio, for example, because you do get the visual. But I'm just saying that I think you would have somebody like Bill O'Reilly. He was number one forever, and he let you know about it. and number one cable news show in whatever 15 years, he would say. But I think on a good night, he would draw on an average night 3 to 4 million people,
right.
Which is a lot, obviously. Yep. But you got these podcasters now going 8, 10, 15 million people, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think Joe Rogan's even more further along than that. I'm listening to a Joe Rogan podcast now.
Hey, I want to get back to that in just a minute.
Okay,
Let's talk to Jan, and then I'm going to get back to that because you listened to a podcast between Joe Rogan and
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, you were just enthralled.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Let's bring on Jan Markell now. Jan joins us from Minneapolis, St. Paul area, the Twin Cities. She's the host of Understanding the Times, heard Saturdays and Sundays right here on American Family Radio. And her ministry is called Olive Tree. And Jan, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Jan's show, folks know who listened, airs Saturday at 1 p.m. Central Time here on AFR and Sundays at noon Central Time right here on American Family Radio. How many years you been on with us now, Jan?
You know, Tim, I think you and I began kind of putting it together, I think, close to a decade ago, which does not seem possible.
I know, right? Well, your show is very popular with our listeners. And,
well, we love AFR listeners. I mean, my goodness, it's what an outreach you folks have.
Well, thank you very much, and we do have great listeners. Absolutely, yeah. They're very responsive. Now, your show this weekend, what's going to be the topic?
Well, you know, it may sound a little conspiratorial, but it honestly is not. European Union on June 5th just voted to move ahead with digital passports, and we all know about them thanks to COVID. So the digital health passport is what they're being called, and they're under, it would be under the direction of the World Health Organization. I'm going to have Michelle Bachmann will speak into it briefly, and Alex Newman will be talking about it for the hour along with me. But you know what I think is needed for this gentleman, for it to really blossom, would be another major health crisis. And that's what many feel is on, we don't know what it would be, whether it be another virus, who knows, I mean, it could be anything. But I think if you're going to have a health passport global, then you need another health crisis. But I think COVID paved the way for this. And, I mean, this is going to eventually will replace cash. Eventually will be a QR code on your cell phone. And so it's really kind of apocalyptic, and that's not why we're reporting on it. Reporting on it because eventually, if the Lord tarries, all of us could be implementing this.
I don't, Jen. I don't think it's conspiratorial at all. This is coming.
It's out in the open.
It's out in the open. And now, when you say a digital passport, you're saying that what the World Health Organization and some of these European countries that are all about global governance, what they're wanting to do is say you have to be able to prove via a QR code on your phone that you have, that you're vaccinated and have everything that the WHO says you should have, or you can't travel.
Well, you summed it up in a sentence actually better than I could, but that's exactly what it boils down to, exactly.
All right, so when we're talking about on the road to a cashless society, this is for real. Hmm. This isn't a dystopian novel or movie. This is coming down the pipe, and so elections do matter in this country too, don't they?
Yes, yes, and this has been approved by the European Union, so it's just a matter of time, I'm sure, before somebody, be it Congress, I don't know, would it be a, I mean, Biden has already done executive orders that paved the way for this. COVID was the warm up for certainly a lot of things that who knows, the next crisis, paving the way for a health passport. But what troubles me, I think, gentlemen, is that the outfit over all of this would be the World Health Organization. Well, they don't get much more corrupt than the World Health Organization and Mr. Tedros, that's his first name, Ghebreyesus, I believe is his last name. And Michelle Bachmann has been almost a lone voice in this. She's been on many, many programs trying to sound the alarm that all of this is coming down the pike. She's done this for a year. World Health Organization tried to do this in 2022. It was delayed till 2023. And now they're talking about implementing it in June of 2023. Well, we're through, almost through June of 2023. So let's just say for discussion, it could be sometime this summer. Again, I don't have details, but this is sort of the conversation that's going around the world. And it leaps out of the book of Revelation.
Talking to Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times. Join her Saturday at 1 o'clock Central Time or Sunday at 12 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Who's going to be your guest?
Well, Michelle will be on for a few moments because this is her passion.
Right.
Alex Newman and some of your folks follow Alex Newman. So the three of us will try to tackle this.
All right. Well, listen, Jan, thanks so much. Appreciate
Thank you,
being on top of this, and we look forward to the show this weekend.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Jan Markell.
Yeah.
Joining us from the Twin Cities in
I just want to make a comment here, guys, that, you know, Jan began by saying, you know, could be considered conspiratorial. It's hard to know what would be conspiratorial these days, because stuff that seemed far-fetched, say, just before the pandemic, it's routine news now, right?
Right.
That we are hurtling headlong toward the setup for what the Book of Revelation talks about. And
Somebody made a joke. I don't know whether it was a meme posted on Facebook or some, I don't know, but they said the The amount of time between a conspiracy and reality is about 6 months.
That's 6 months.
Yeah, because everything you think that's a conspiracy, then six months later you find out
it has come to pass.
The conspiracy shows are running out of material.
Yes.
They're going to have to revert back to Bigfoot.
We live in crazy
Bigfoot
crazy
and aliens,
times.
Space aliens. Yeah. That those always work, though. Those are like Elton John songs. You know, you can play them over and over and over
or
again.
Or the Carpenters, right, Chris?
Carpenters.
Oh, yeah, I'm told they're great.
Chris got his Carpenters greatest hit CD, don't you?
As soon as I can find a record player from a yard sale,
That's right.
I'll get some vinyl.
Let me just mention you'd said about Joe Rogan. I'm just going to toss that out.
Yeah, talk about that.
Okay.
And I do want, folks, I do want to give you a caution. Joe Rogan is not a Christian. He got his fame, by the way, I think with mixed martial arts, and I think that's what, he's been in a couple movies. But
the Fear Factor TV show too.
Was it on Fear Factor?
I saw a few of those. I'm not proud of it, but I did watch some of those.
But his podcast is just incredibly popular. He's not a Christian. I think he's a Buddhist. If you listen to some of his podcasts, he drops some obscenities at times. So I'm not trying to portray this as Christian. I do like listening to his podcast sometimes.
That's what I was going to say. You're not a regular listener
right, all
the time, but somebody recommended a particular podcast for the information he was giving, which
that's why I did want to give that little caveat at the start of it. So someone sent me a link to and this is on Spotify, a podcast interview where Joe Rogan interviews Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is the son of Robert F. Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1968, the nephew of John F. Kennedy. And he, RFK Jr., has done an incredible amount of research on vaccine safety. Now, he makes it clear he's not anti-vax, but the focus of this, if you get a chance to listen to it, on my mind, the person who sent me this said, this is going to blow your mind. Well, I get that a lot. I hear that a lot. This really did blow my mind. On vaccine safety, big pharma, and the squelching of important information that is contrary to the narrative we're all given. He talks on this podcast. It's 2.5 hours. I'm an hour and a half through it because I listen just periodically. And he talks about COVID and what happened during COVID. And so, folks, if you get a chance to listen to it, it's not safe for listening in front of your kids. And that's just periodically. It's not a constant stream of profanities. But it blew my mind on that particular topic. And I'll tell you, RFK Jr. is a dark horse. And by that, I mean he has the potential to either challenge Joe Biden for the Democratic Party nomination, or if Joe Biden decides for one reason or another, to drop out. RFK Jr. is a real dark horse for that nomination because he's what I would consider a classical liberal from the JFK, RFK kind of stream of things. And he's hit on this topic, and there are a lot of people who are libertarian and even conservative who go, this guy is saying things that you're not going to find anyone else saying.
You know, Ed, this goes to Tim's point earlier about alternative media. Where else are you going to have a platform where a guy like RFK Jr. can talk about anything for 2.5 hours?
Right.
There's no platform on NBC that allows for anything like that, right?
Right.
And I don't know how big Joe Rogan's audience is, but it's in the multiple millions of listeners. And so you get a guy like RFK Jr. on there, give him 2.5 hours. We're not, by the way, to be clear, we are not recommending Joe Rogan's podcast one way or the other. But we are saying clearly there are voices heard on alternative media that you do not hear on CNN or MSNBC, and certainly not on the big three.
Well, and what's fascinating is that when I first got this Spotify, this link for this Spotify interview for the podcast, I went to YouTube at lunch, okay? Sometimes I'll watch some YouTube interviews.
Where is that?
YouTube. Where's that? Yeah, I think you know.
Never heard of it.
Is that .net?
And
do they got good sandwiches or what? You said
YouTube. They might. Okay. Might
you,
be
well, you said you go there at lunch. I just
while I'm eating. Okay. While I'm eating what I brought from
get
home.
Get an Italian beef.
Yeah.
Get some fries.
Here we go. Meatballs maybe.
Oh yeah, you went right to the meatballs.
Right to
the meatballs. All right. So, but. There were clips of the Joe Rogan RFK Jr. interview. Mm-hmm. All the stuff about the vaccines was not on there because he talked about other stuff. He talked about something about the assassination of JFK and some other things, but the vaccine stuff was not on there.
You're saying YouTube censored?
Oh, RFK Jr. says that all my stuff is censored. He said he wrote a book about this, about vaccine safety. And so, folks, I guess you could get the book if you do want to listen to the podcast. He said nobody would sell it except Amazon. Barnes & Noble wouldn't book some, all these other book outlets. They would not sell his book. So what do I have
his podcast numbers from a website whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Come on, Joe Rogan?
Yeah. These are his numbers. It's from a June 2023 article. As of August 2021, the Joe Rogan podcast had an impressive reach with 190 million monthly downloads, 1.5 billion total downloads since inception, and 7 million YouTube subscribers. Not too shabby.
Wow.
Good night.
Oh, that's good.
We're giving you a run for your money,
well,
Joe.
He's number one in the world, I think, as far as podcasters.
By the way, you can listen to all of our podcasts on AFR.net.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Thank
Shameless
you.
Plug.
All right. Anyway, so that's just an FYI for our listeners.
I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. That's who you just heard. And Chris Woodward and Ray Pritchard. And we thank you for listening to AFR. Hey, one thing about you mentioned RFK Jr. running as a Democrat, challenging Joe Biden, current president. I've got a look out into the future. Prediction. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a prediction. Maybe it is, but I mentioned it before. So what I'm about to do is speculate. I want people to understand that this is not thus saith the Lord. Okay. But there are a lot of people who think that Joe Biden will not be the Democrat nominee. How this happens exactly, I don't know. But he is in a terrible position to run for re-election, and the Democrats know this. He's very, he's physically failing. Mentally, we see what's happening there. His job approval numbers are way down. So he's not a good candidate, right? Now, Kamala Harris is probably worse, all right, as far as her electability. She only got 3% of the Democrat primary voters. You remember that? So she was only picked because she was a woman of color. Mm. Now, she was a U.S. senator, so you could add that to her resume. Mm. She's a U.S. senator.
Attorney General of California.
Attorney General. So she does have an impressive political resume. I will grant you that.
Right.
If you want to, I'm not talking her political beliefs. I'm just talking about the offices that she's held. But she's really bad public speaker. She doesn't communicate her ideas all that well. Some would say, look who's talking. And I understand that mockery. But they were saying the Democrats are going to come in and say, listen, we got 10 million, 20 million bucks for you, Kamala. Just step aside and endorse Gavin Newsom. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, he's been raising his profile publicly, going after Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. He went down to Florida. I don't know why he doesn't go after Trump yet, but he's going after DeSantis, he's getting into public fights with him. He's also on TV a lot. He has very high, very high name ID. He's telegenic in the sense that, he's younger, much younger than Biden, and right. I'm not saying old people can't look good on TV.
Right.
But younger people look better.
Yes.
I don't think I'm violating any.
And that's not just on TV.
He's 55.
That's just looking in the mirror. That's I can tell you that right now.
Just a fact.
Just a fact. So, and he's got all his mental faculties going for him. I don't agree with any of his politics. I'm just telling you as an objective observer, they would be the Democrats. Now, California is a mess, an absolute progressive liberal disaster. Yeah. But the country being what it is, 50-50 Democrat, 50 Republican, I don't know that the average Democrat cares that California is a mess or not. They're still going to vote for a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So don't be surprised in the next 3 to 6 months, I'm just saying, if we don't end up at the end of the year talking about Gavin Newsom being the Democrat nominee for president. Now, what that would mean, I don't know. I don't know how that works exactly, because you got RFK Jr. sitting there. And would that mean that Newsom and RFK Jr.?
No, you've got to win the nomination. So you'd have to win a majority of the delegates. Now, they do have super delegates. I think that's been ramped down a little bit in terms of their influence, but they're kind of like free floating. But now you could, if nobody gets a majority at the Democratic Party National Convention and you have a certain number of votes, whatever their rules are, you can then start the process of drafting a candidate, and then everybody says, okay. So that would be a way, if he doesn't want to
actually. That's what I'm talking about, that kind of thing happening where Biden drops out and then they draft. That way Newsom wouldn't have to go through the whole campaigning across America, trying to beat RFK Jr. They just work out a deal where he's handpicked.
Joe Biden could run, would probably get the vast majority of delegates, and then before the convention say, for health reasons, I'm going to have to drop out, and I am going to encourage my delegates to, at the convention, vote for.
That's what I'm talking about happening.
Yeah, those kinds of things can happen, I think.
Now, on the other hand, you know, Ray, when you're dealing with people like Biden, who aren't there all together, and they get obstinate. I mean, people can be obstinate and hard-headed.
Old people can be really
so obstinate. Can 20-year-olds. I mean, so that's, you know. But I'm just saying, you get somebody who is older and obstinate and
what if he doesn't want to?
That's what I'm saying. He says, no.
Drag him out of the Oval Office?
He says, no, I'm doing fine.
Right.
Everything's good. Huh?
And I'm the best bet for the Democratic
Party. That's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I mean, I'm just saying, don't be surprised if Newsom doesn't end up being the Republican the Democrat nominee, because they got nobody else. There's nobody else on the bench,
right?
Yeah. When LBJ decided he wasn't,
is just not going to get it.
When LBJ decided, I know you guys were like kids when this happened, but when I don't know the answer to this question. When LBJ decided he wasn't going to run for a re-election in 1968, was all of that in advance of that year's election?
And I think that was in advance of the primaries. Hubert Humphrey became the kind of the front runner, I think.
When was that, 68?
And then also RFK, Robert F.
Yes.
Kennedy, was doing very well,
right.
Then he was assassinated.
Right. Was that, you talking about the 68 election?
That was for the nomination for the Democratic
We didn't Party. Study that much in my government-subsidized textbook back in the 90s, so I really don't know the answer to that question.
Well, I was playing in my backyard at the time.
Not a care in the world.
No, I had Hot Wheels.
Yeah, drinking a Sprite and reading Spider-Man.
I had Hot Wheels and Tonka Toys.
That's right.
I didn't care who was president.
You knew what gender you were.
All right. Good old days. Riding my bike through the woods.
By the way, you want to hear silliness? No, I'm going to wait when we come back.
You're going to wait for silliness?
Okay, attack on bacon, people. Bacon.
Okay, No, we can't have this.
I'm going to tell you about it when we come back.
I think we can all rise up together as one.
Yes.
Against that. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.